Today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Gimel, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on daf Yud Beit Amud Beit towards the bottom. And this, of course, is a very famous Mishnah because it's part of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Maskirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hare Ani Kiven Shivim Shana, Velo Zachiti Sheteamer Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot, Ad Shedarsha Ben Zoma. He's referring to Ad Shedarsha Ben Zoma right here now, because this Rashi says this took place on the day that's why he's saying Hare Ani Kiven Shivim Shana, on the day that he turned all white, not all white, but the rose of white, because it was that day that they appointed him to take over from Rabbi Gamliel. And it was on that day that Ben Zoma came up with his drasha. So he was very nispar. Oh, now that I was zeicha to be Kiven Shivim Shana, now I hear finally Ben Zoma's drasha, Leman Tizkor et Yom Tzeit Chameretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yemei Chayecha. What's Kol Yemei Chayecha? Yemei Chayecha, that's Hayamim. Kol Yemei Chayecha Halaylot. Why is this here? Because obviously we're talking about the third parsha of Kriyat Shema. The third parsha of Kriyat Shema is Vayomer, which is really in Bamidbar. But we include it in Kriyat Shema. Why? Because there's a mitzvah of the Zechira of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kol Yemei Chayecha, which includes even at night. And therefore, since he holds it's even at night, we even say the third parsha at night. So we were mechaber it to the nature of Kriyat Shema. We'll talk about this more in the Gemara. And the Chachamim Amrim, Yemei Chayecha Olam Hazeh, Kol Yemei Chayecha, that only comes to tell me that even Bimot HaMashiach, there still is a chiyuv to remember the origins of our freedom, even though we've gone through so much more by then, Bimot HaMashiach, and it looks to us, Yetzias Mitzrayim, is somewhat primitive compared to our more recent experiences. Hafal Pi Kein, we have to masquer Yetzias Mitzrayim. Tanya, this is what comes of listening to Barnea. Tanya, Omar Lahem Ben Zoma L'Chachomi. Is it even true that we're supposed to say Yetzias Mitzrayim B'Yavot HaMashiach? It's not even true. Halo Kvar Ne'emar. Doesn't the Navi say Beferish Yirmiyahu that Hine Yamim Ba'im Nu Hashem V'Lo Yamru Otchai Hashem Asher Yalai B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim? The days are coming when people are no longer going to be thinking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Instead, they will say Kiim Chai Hashem Asher He'elav Asher Evi Et Zera Beit Yisrael Meretz Tzafona U'Mikol Haratzot Asher Yidachtim Sham. So apparently, it's not even so. The Navi says we don't stick with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Amru lo, Tachachomib said, that doesn't mean we forget about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Lo shetayakir Yetziat Mitzrayim imkoma, ela shetehei she'ibud malchiyot ikar, Yetziat Mitzrayim tafelo. The new things, which are the she'ibud malchiyot, all the way through the golas of Edom that we're now involved in, that's the most incredible thing that we remember. However, at the same time, we also remember that which is tafelo, which is Yetziat Mitzrayim. We find the same idea. Now, obviously, that does not mean that Yaakov is no longer a valid name, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself immediately calls Yisrael, Vayomer Hashem LeYisrael, Vayikra Hashem LeYisrael, Yaakov, Yaakov. So how could it be? Therefore, lo sheyaker Yaakov mimekomo, all it means is that the Iker name is Yisrael and Yaakov is Tafel. We have the same idea in the Pasuk, Al tiskru rishonot vekadmiot al tidbonenu. What does that mean? Al tiskru, don't remember the first things, says Yeshayahu. That's referring to Yitziat Mitzrayim. And what are the kadmoniot? The Al Tizkru Rishonot refers to Shara Shibud Malchus. Kadmoniot means the ancient things. Don't look so deeply into that. That's Yetzias Mitzrayim. But in a Neo Seh Chadasha, what is the latest thing? Atat Titzmach. Unbelievable new things are happening. Tani Rav Yosef, that's Bochem is Gog u'Magog. So it would be like a person's experience. Imagine a guy who was going along the road and he's attacked by a wolf. Man, he manages to escape the wolf. He kills the wolf. Unbelievable. So wherever he goes, he sits down in the next pub that he gets to. Unbelievable story happened to me. Anyway, He gets back on the road and now he's attacked by a lion. He's saved from the lion. Man, oh man. From that point on, he forgets about the wolf. Now he comes to the pub. He's talking about the incredible story of how he was saved from the lion. Then he goes out from the lion and he's attacked by this enormous snake. I don't know if you guys saw the snake yesterday in the news, but there was this 10-meter long anaconda that they lifted up with a crane. If it's a real picture, it's absolutely, the Gemara says, "Imlo ra'iti nachash ki korat beit abad." This thing was about 10 times as big as the korat beit abad. Incredible. Anyway, so the guy's attacked by this enormous snake. Now he forgets all about the wolf, forgets all about the lion, and he's oyahalach mesaper the maisa of the nachash. Same thing is true over here. Yisrael have so many new miracles, new tzaras that they have to be saved from, that the latest events are Mishakeach Rishonot. We find also the change in Avram Avinu. Avram, who Avraham? What does that mean? Betchila, he was Av to Aram. Lebesof, he's Av to everybody, the Chol HaOlam. Sarai, he Sarah. Betchila, she was Sarai, meaning only a local Sar, Umata. In the end, she became Sarah, the Chol HaOlam Kulo. Tani Bar Kapora, there is a difference, a very profound difference between the idea of Yaakov being still Yaakov even when he's Yisrael, and Avram having been turned into Avraham. Because if you call Avraham today Avram, you're going to be over on a mitzvah saseh. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'haya shimcha Avraham, that's the way it's got to be. Rabbi Eliezer says it's even a lotasa, because it says, V'lo yikare od shimcha Avraham. Wait a minute, so then that should be true about Sarah also. I mean, it says that Sarah, right? So, isn't that mean everybody is also? No. Over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells to Avraham personally, because he says, Sarai Ishtecha, your wife, is no longer you, Lo Tikrat Shema Sarai, you no longer call her Sarai. Ki Sarah Shema, but he's not making that an Yisrael Kol Olam Kula. He's telling Avram Avinu how to relate to her. Wait, so the Yaakov, Hachinami, because it says, Loikare Shibcha Yaakov? No. Because over there, Hodra Hadre Kra, Tichti Vayomer Elohim Li Yisrael, Bamarota Laila Vayomer Yaakov. So obviously it can't be an Iser. Most Reb Yosef Rabin Vitem Reb Yosef Bar Zvida. Doesn't it say, Atahu Hashem Elohim Asher Bacharta Bi Avram? How do we say Be Avram if we're not allowed to mention the name Avram? No, that is going over the historical event. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, took Avram at the time when his name was only Avram, and you called it Avraham. So over there, the Navi is being Mesader L'Shvachi D'Rachmana. He's telling over the amazing things that our lover did for us. That originally, when Avram Avinu was called Avram, he turned his name into Avraham. Now, what is all of this doing here at the end of the perek that opens up the concept of Emunah? I think it has very, very profound implications for the whole idea. Because, look, what the Gemara is saying is that the most primal experiences are the ones that everything else needs to be built on, which is an amazing idea in terms of Emunah. Since we define the nature of Emunah as needing to stretch from the idea of Reishis itself all the way through Yomos HaMashiach and ultimately turning Olam HaZeh into Olam HaBa, so obviously the Perek is going to end with those things, but more than that, it's going to tell us that even though you're way beyond Yetzias Mitzrayim, I mean, to us, again, going through the British Museum and looking at the Egyptian section, you know, there's something that's very primitive. As we go through each one of the Goliaths in the British Museum, you find that there's a greater and greater relationship that we have to its sophistication. And just as Daniel was shown each level of Malchus, so you would think that the more sophisticated you become, the more distant you become from these ancient experiences, which indeed the Pasuk is calling Kadmoniot. You know, these ancient events. Don't be mitbonen in the ancient events. But nonetheless, the Pasuk is telling us that you must always, even the Yemos HaMashiach, you're going to have to continually remember Yetzias Mitzrayim in exactly the same way that you, who were, became yourself through the experiences of Olam Hazeh, are going to have to remember all of those experiences because they are what makes you in Olam Haba, and you'll never get away from them. And therefore, Tchiyas HaMeisim becomes part of your re-experiencing the life that you had. What difference does it make when I was 5 years old? It makes a difference. When I was 70 years old back there in Olam Hazeh, it makes a tremendous difference. Because childhood makes a difference. Because the nature of the building of a world from childhood makes a difference. And the nature of building itself from childhood makes a difference. And Adarabba, the more sophisticated you become, and the greater the darga of the completion and the closure, the greater the darga of the incorporation of the earlier events, such that Yetzias Mitzrayim now becomes seen in its full glory of its ultimate expression as the Eimach HaShecher Gedola Nefelas, and therefore an understanding of Emunah and Kriyat Shema Ba'arvi specifically, which is Emunatcha Ba'Leilot, as we saw, as opposed to Baboker Chazdecha, Dafke is Mechayev you to remember the days of darkness, which compared to the days of Mashiach and Olam Haba, they're days of darkness, but to us those days are what made us what we are. Hadron Alach, may Ematai, where's Richie when you need him? Doc, you're on. Doc, you're muted. Wait a minute over here. Wait a minute, that's the wrong Doc. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Look at this. Dr. Waldman took over from Dr. Lichtenstein.
He hesitated too long.
You're right. Okay, but you didn't say the right thing. Berlin Netter. We're up to Berlin Netter and Feint on the Helike Perek, and that might be too much Yiddish for you. We better move over to Doc. Go ahead. Unmute yourself. There you are.
Feint on the Helike Perek. Says we need a second opinion.
Well put.
One for Boker and one for Erev.
Excellent. Very good. All right. However, I must tell you, Dr. Lichtenstein, that this Mishnah is a contradiction to the way you said Fangt on the Helike Perek. Because it demands a certain amount of heart and commitment and not that Kalta Litvak sound, you know? So let's take a look at our parrot. Hayako Reba Torah, guy is reading in the Sefer Torah, Vigiyaz Mana Mikri, gets up to Parshav Kriyat Shema, and it's time for Kriyat Shema, and he just keeps reading. Im Kiven Libo Yatsa, if he had in mind, now it's not clear what he needed to have in mind, and we're going to think about that, but Pashtas it means if he had in mind to be Yotze, so then he's Yotze. Baprakim, Shoel Mipnei HaKavod, Umeshiv. Ubeemza, Shoel Mipnei HaYirah, Umeshiv, Divrei Rebbe Meir. So if he is in the breaks between the various parshios and the various brachos, he is allowed to say, good morning, how are you feeling, to somebody to whom he is chayev to give kavod to. And he can answer if he's asked by that person. Now it doesn't say by that person, maybe even in somebody else, we'll see. If he's in the middle of the pasuk, then he can be asked something to someone that he's afraid of, and also he can respond if addressed. So says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, not quite. If he's be'emtza, if he's in the break, then if he's in the middle of the pasuk, he can ask, you're right, only somebody that he's afraid of. But he can answer even just out of respect if he's addressed by that person. But Prakim, if he's in the breaks, there he's even allowed to ask Mipnei HaKavod alone, but he can answer anybody if someone addresses him, even someone that he does not have to respect. What do we mean by Prakim? Elohim ben HaPrakim. So, between the first bracha and the second bracha, between the second bracha and Kriyat Shema itself, between Kriyat Shema, the first, the Ahavta, to Vahaya im Shamoah, between the parsha of Vayayim Shamoah and the parsha of Vayomer, Bein Vayomer, to the words Emet V'Yatziv, which is the beginning of the bracha after. Reb Yudah says, no. Between Vayomer and Emet V'Yatziv, you are not allowed to break, because you have to say, Ani Hashem Elokechem. And then if you don't say Emet afterwards, it's as if you are denying the connection between Emet and Ani Hashem Elokechem. By the way, there are some who hold not only between Emet, but the Gemara means literally Emet V'Yatziv. So if you need to break, you need to say Ani Hashem Elokechem Emet V'Yatziv, and then you can break. Fine. So it's best to be makbid like that. By the way, there is a machloket about whether when it says you can't break between the closing of Kriyat Shema and Emet V'Yatziv, does it mean you can't break at all? Or does it mean that's not considered to be Bein HaPrakim, that's considered to be in the middle? If it means you can't break at all, it means that's more chomer than any of the others. So there are some who hold that. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Lama kadma parshat Shema levayim Shemoa? Why do we say first Shema, then Vayim Shemoa, even though they are in that order in the Torah, so it's really not much of a question, but we ignore the order of the Torah because we say Vayomer, which is actually the first of all of the parashas, because it's back in Bamidbar, the other two are in Devarim, so we don't care apparently about the order necessarily that's presented in the Holy Book. Therefore, we want to know, so why do we present it in that way? Because the parsha of Shema is a Kabbalas O Malko Shamayim. One should do that first. Then one reads Vayayim Shamar Tishmu El Kol Mitzvotai. That's something else. That's the Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs. So that comes afterwards. Why do we do Vayayim Shamoa to Vayomer? Because Vayayim Shamoa is a Chiev that is Noeg Bein Vayom Ubein Balayla. That we have talking about the Mitzvah Limud HaTorah, which is Vihigitam Vayomam Valayla V'limatemotam Et Bnechem. That's something that's Nogea all the time. Masha'inkein, the main topic of Vayomer, even though it includes the other beautiful topics that we spoke about, but the main topic is focused on the mitzvah of tzitzit specifically, and the utilization of tzitzit for the memory of all the other mitzvahs and so on. And therefore, the din of tzitzit, that is only beyond. Now, the big machlokas we've shown you, in what sense is tzitzit only beyond? That one wears tzitzit only beyond, and at night not, even if the beggar that he's wearing is a beggar that would be worn beyond? Or that if he's wearing, and it goes according to the time of the day, or it goes according to what he's wearing. And if he's wearing a beged yom, he would be wearing tzitzit even at night. And if he's wearing his pajamas, he would not be wearing tzitzit even in the day. That's a big machlokas, which we'll talk about later. Anyway, it appears from this Mishnah, says the Gemara, that since it says only if you are mechavin libo are you yotze, apparently you need to have kavana to be mekayim a mitzvah in order for you to be yotze. But that's a big machlokas whether mitzvot tzrichot kavana. And all of a sudden we now have a beferish a mishnah that says mitzvot tzrichot kavana. I mean, that's pretty shocking. That's hard to believe. So apparently from the mishnah mitzvot tzrichot kavana, says Gemara, no. Not necessarily. When it says im kivein libo, it does not necessarily mean that he had in kavana to be yotze. It may mean that he had in kavana to read. To read? He is reading, says the Gemara. What do you mean, likrot? He's been kore. No. We're talking about a case where a guy is reading, but he's reading lahagia. So he is trying to make sure that, let's say, he's writing or he's checking over a pair of tefillin or a sefer Torah. So he was reading in order to be magia, to make sure that he didn't make any mistakes, to sing it over to the sofa or whatever, to himself. But he did not have a desire to read. Now, this is a big question. What does that mean? So Tosfos says, look, it must mean that the act of reading, even though the act of reading itself is sufficient, over here, he wasn't really reading, because in order to be magia, he did not pronounce it correctly. What he did was, let's say if there's a missing vav, so instead of saying mezuzot betecha, he wrote mezuzat betecha. That's the way he said it, because he wanted to make sure that he could see whether there was a vav missing, and so on and so forth, in every case like that. In which case, he mispronounced it. So if he had in kavana that, no, this part I'm going to read properly for Shema, then he's yotze. That's how Tosfos learns, that's how Rabbeinu Yonah learns. It's very difficult to believe that that's the pshat. Rashi understands the meaning is that when a person is reading lahagia, there is something missing in the act of reading. Reading is not simply putting words in your brain. Reading means that those words, you have an intent, that they have some type of comprehension. Over here, you're functioning only on the, you're only on the basis of phonemes. There's no reading at all on that level, Dainas Rashi. And therefore, the Kavana Likrot is a different act, even though you as an observer may not see the difference in the act. That person in his brain knows the difference of that act. And therefore, it means exactly what it says. Tana Rabbana, Kriyat Shema has to be the way that it's written, meaning it has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. So says Rebbe. The Chachamim say, no, you can read it in any language at all. My time at a Rebbe, why only Lashon HaKodesh? It says, V'hayu. V'hayu always means existentially as presented. B'havaya Tanyahu. V'rabbanan. So where do the Rabbanan get it from? They say, it says Shema. What does Shema mean? Shema means whatever it takes for you to understand. B'kol Lashon Shata Shomea. If this is what you understand, then that's great. So what does Rebbe do with Shema? Rebbe says, I need Shema to tell me that you can't read it in with your lips moving. You have to have it going to your ears. So it has to be loud enough to hear. Whereas the Rabbanan hold that that's not true. They hold like the Mandiyomar lo yishmei al ozno yatsan. It's not necessary. But according to the Rabbanan, what do they do with the fact that it says vehayu, which means vahavayatan? No, vehayu vahavayatan is true. But what it means is that you cannot read it out of order. And you can't say it basically backwards. Now, Rashi understands that what that means is that you're saying it backwards in the sense of levavecha al hayom mitzavecha anochi. That's backwards. So in other words, the words being backwards. Others learn backwards, the psukim being backwards. But what about the actual prakim being backwards? Many of the Rishonim are medayik that since the Mishnah says if you were reading in the Torah and igiyaz man kriyat shma, you would be otzi if you're mechaving. Wait a second. If you're reading the Torah, first of all, you got to vayomer before you got to shma. So you said vayomer and then you said shma, right? So how could you be otzi? So apparently, you're yotze even if it's out of order. They're medayik other things, which is that even if you read all the other stuff in between, that's not considered to be a hefsek in the Kriyat Shema, and you could also be yotze. Okay, that's one way of understanding the sugya. But in any event, when it comes to the mafreya, the Mishnah certainly is not necessarily over here telling me that all the mafreya is okay. Therefore, the mafreya in terms of the understanding of the words of a particular pasuk or the seder of a pasuk within a particular parsha may indeed be ma'akev, even if the seder of the parsha is per se, the order may not necessarily be ma'akev. Okay. So according to Rebbe, how does he know that you can't read it in backwards order? That he learns out also from Devarim, but he says Devarim could have said Vayu Devarim El. Instead it says Ha Devarim. Ha Devarim means as presented. The words as they are. The Rabbanan don't learn from Devarim. Ha Devarim, they are not Doresh, the extra hay. Anyway, but the implication here is that according to Rebbe, if I wouldn't have had that Vayu, then it would have been like anything else. And that would have meant anything else is in any language. And only because vayu is it different. So now let's say, Kolotarakula, I'm coming to read Parsha Zohar. I'm coming to say the Parsha of Chalitza. I'm coming to lane, like Rashi says, in the Beit HaKnesset, which Tosafot says doesn't make any sense because that was only an institution by Ezra. So how would a pasuk be coming to address Kriya in the Beit HaKnesset? I'm coming to do Parsha Zohar, whatever. So now I could do it in any language. Because if Rebbe would hold that the norm is that you have to say things in Lashon HaKodesh, then why over here would it have to say Vahayu to teach me only Lashon HaKodesh if Kol HaTorah Kula is by definition only Lashon HaKodesh? It doesn't make any sense. No, it does make sense, because why? Since it says Shema over here, Mishum Dechtiv Shema, and the Rabbanan Davka Rumedayik from Shema B'chol Lashon HaTashomea, says Rebbe, that's why the Torah had to make it very clear, don't understand Shema that way. And over here, it also has to be Vahayu in Lashon HaKodesh. And Shema is to be understood as I understood it. Namely, you must hear it in your ears. Okay, but the opposite inference that the Rabbanim must hold, that normally Kol HaTorah Kula has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh, and that's why I need Shema to tell me that over here, I can say it in any language. Because if not, Isaac, why does the Torah have to say Shema over here? Same answer. I need it, because since it says Vehayu, I would have thought that a Vehayu means has to be the way it's written. Now, Tana Rabban, you said, Vehayu means don't read it in backwards order. Ha-devarim alevavecha. You might have thought, Yochote kol ha-parsha tzricha kavana, you might think that the whole first parsha of Kriyat Shema has to have the kavana of what it is that you're reading. This is not the kavana of the yotziah of the mitzvah, and it's not the kavana of Kriya. This is the kavana of understanding and caring about what you're reading. And that I'm learning out from Alevavecha. This is what I was referring to when I was talking to Doc. It's got to be on your heart. So find on the Helik Eperik. So it's got to be Alevavecha. You might think the whole parsha has to be Alevavecha. Talmud Lomar Ha'ele. Up till the here, these words. What are these words? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. To be Bekabel O Malchus Shamayim, and to know that. And then the Ahavtat Hashem Elokecha, the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. Those first two psukim are so fundamental that's how Tosfos explains it, that is what the Torah is being makbid, has to be on your heart with full concentration. Ad kan, only up to those words, advarim e'ela tzricha kavana, beyond that, you do not have to be all that aware of what you're saying. Ein tzricha kavana, so says Rabbi Eliezer. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said to him, but harei omer, doesn't it not say, asher anochi mitzavecha hayom alevavecha? Read the words. Asher anochi mitzavecha doesn't say that I commanded you. It says that I am in the process of commanding you. Mitzavecha hayom. Then that means not up till here. It means all of this. Asher anochi mitzavecha, the entire parsha. Not like you're saying. Mikan atalomed shekol parsha kula tzricha kavana. Omer Rabbi Bar Vachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. The whole first part of Shema, you have to have kavana. Now, Iked Amasila, some say that Rabbi Bar Vachana did not paskin like Rabbi Akiva. He paskin like a shita similar to Rabbi Akiva, but it was said on the following brice. Akori et Shema tzirik shechavin et libo. Reva Acham, Yishum Rabbi Yudah, Yomer, Kiva shechivin libo beperk rishon, shuven et tzirik. So you need to have kavana, meaning even in the second chelik. But Rav Acha says you only need kavana in the first perk, which is basically like Rabbi Akiva. And that's enough. Shuv and Atzor, you don't need anything beyond that. And whereas Rabbi Akiva, by the way, said that you'd be Yotzer. He says you don't even need it, meaning even the Chatchila. Amar Abba Bar Bachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. In this version, the Psak was Alokha Krab Acha, Shomer Mishom Rabbi Yudah, which is essentially like Rabbi Akiva, but not exactly because of the lechatchila. So you're paskening that the kavanah is only for the first parak, but it's for the entire first parak. Now another brisa says, "Vehayu shelo yikra lamafreya." Alevavecha, Rabbi Zutra Omer. Now this doesn't make sense on the surface. That up till here you have a chiyav of kavanah, adkad mitzvah kavanah. From this point onwards, you have to read it, mitzvat kriya, which we took to mean that you don't have to read the first part; you only have to be aware of it. Rabbi Yoshe Omer, Adkan mitzvat kriya, until here you have to read. Mikan ve'elach, this next part, the second chalik, you have to have kavana. What? So the Gemara says, let's take a look at the first thing makes no sense. How come mikan ve'elach mitzvah kriya, how come only from this point on you have to say it? Because it says l'daberbam, which means you have to say it. So it says v'dibaratabam in the first parak also. Why don't you have to speak out v'dibaratabam? Nah, says the Gemara, you misunderstood what Rabbi Zutra was saying. He was saying, Adkan mitzvah kavana means until here you also need kavana. Obviously, you need kriya. So Adkan mitzvah kavana and kriya. And from this point onwards, it's enough to have kriya. But you don't need the kavana, which was basically what we were paskening before. The first parak requires kavana. But why? How does that make sense? Why is it that until now you need kavana and kriya? Because it says, Alevavecha v'dibarta bam. But it says that in the second one also. It says, Alevavchem l'daberbam. No. That's talking about over there, k'shartam liot al yadecha. That's referring to tefillin. Ahumi boile l'kirab Yitzchak. V'samtem et devarayela means you put these words on your arm, referring to the tefillin shel yad, where Alevavecha. So you put it on the top of the bicep, which when you hold your arm on your chest, it becomes your tefillin come out on your heart. That's the point of Olive Avecha. It has nothing to do with saying it. In the first paragraph, was talking about the way that you say it. Here it's talking about how do you samtem, how do you place it. Oh, totally different meaning. Omar Mar. Okay, now let's look at the next part of the Braisa. Rabbi Yosha Omer, until this point, meaning the first paragraph, you have a mitzvah kriya, and from that point on, you have a mitzvah kavana. Why is that? Why do we have a mitzvah kavana from this point on? Because it says Olive Avecha. In the first paragraph, it also says Olive Avecha. Nach, you don't understand what he was saying, Rabbi Yosha. Harki Kama. Adkan, until this point, you have a mitzvah of kriya and kavana. From this point on, you don't need kriya. It's sufficient to have kavana. Mikan ve'elach kavana, but you don't have to say it. Why is that? How come until now you also have to say it? Because it says, Alev avecha v'dibarta bam. So in the second parak, it says, Alev avchem l'daber bam. Excuse me, look at the pasuk and you'll see what it's talking about over there. It says, v'limatem otamet b'nechem l'daber bam. That's talking about learning Torah, for heaven's sake. It's talking about limud. It's not talking about Kriyat Shema. That's referring to Ubedivrei Torah Aktiv. Okay, come Rachmana. Teach your children Torah. What's the daberbam? Don't just say it over to them. Make sure that they can speak about it. The daberbam, the ligrusubu. Let them say it over to be able to walk down the streets and be saying over Mishnayos to themselves. Tana Rabbana. A Braita says a whole different approach to everything that we've had until now. We've had the Shita, the first two psukim. We've had the Shita, the first perek. Now comes along the Braita that says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, up till here and no further. Ad kan tzricha kavanat halev, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, only the first pasuk. Amar Rava alochak Rabbi Meir. And as Tosus points out, we always paskin like Rava as the Basra. So that in reality, the chiv of kavanah is only ma'akiv in the first pasuk. Tanya Sumchus Omer. If you are you concentrate on the word echad and you pronounce it elongated, your life will be elongated. But this is only in the letter dalet of echad, which means that everybody should be teimani, because if you're not a teimani, you can't even say a dalet by elongating it. And therefore, why be the dalet? Because before the dalet, there's not even a word there. What does ach mean? What are you going to be? Marich on the ach? On the olive? That sure doesn't mean anything. On the chet? The chet doesn't mean anything. This is how Rashi learns. It's only on the dalet. Lamaisa, we paskin that there's two steps. Not like Rashi. And that the chet is slightly elongated in order to have the kavana that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shoylet l'mala v'lamata. And on the dalet is meramish to the dalet ruchot ha-shamayim. And that's what you have in kavana at the dalet. Okay. Omer Ravashi, but if you're going to be marich on the dalet, be careful not to hurry too much when you say the chet. Don't be chotef that chet, because then it'll come out that you're not saying the chet properly. You're going to be pronouncing it as if it's a shva. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was sitting once in front of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba saw that Rabbi Yirmiyahu was saying a really frum kriyat shema with a long 5-minute echad. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said to him, no. That's not what it means. Once you had in your mind that consciousness, you do not do more than that. When you say alivavecha, you have to be standing in that place. What do you mean? Just the words alivavecha? No. In other words, until alivavecha, this is going according to Shita, that you need to have kavon in the first two psukim. So until alivavecha, even though Beit Hillel says that you can say Kriyat Shema while you're walking, that is not true about the first two psukim, or the first pasuk, the way we pasuk like Rabbi Meir, because in order to properly concentrate, you should be standing in one place. So what it is, ad alivavecha, should be b'amida, but after that, you can start walking along. So if you're walking along the way and you have to say Kriyat Shema, we're so happy that Mordechai is back, you have to say Kriyat Shema. So you should stop for a moment, say Kriyat Shema, and then you keep walking along when you get to the Ahavta. Rabbi Yochanan holds, this again is Kafi, the Shitas that we had before, that the entire first parsha has to be ba'amida, but that's Rabbi Yochanan the Tiny. The Yomer Rabbah Bar Bachana Om Rabbi Yochanan Halachah Krab Achash Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. And according to that approach, it was the entire first parsha that required kavana. But we were talking about Alibada Rabbi Meir, which is how we paskin. So basically, you'd only need the first pasuk. But each shita would go according to its own shita. Tana Rabbanan. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the entire Kriyat Shema that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi used to say. He didn't have time to say anything else. So he would start teaching in the morning, and it was before Zman Kriyat Shema. He didn't finish his shir until after Zman Kriyat Shema for people coming in and out at the Fritchirim, but he couldn't stop. So the only words of Kriyat Shema that he had a chance to say was Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Rav said to Rabbi Chiya, I never saw him even saying that. I never saw Rebbe be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. I don't get it. He starts before Zman Kriyat Shema, finishes here afterwards, and he never stops. Amar Leis, Rebbe Chiya said to him, Bar Pachtei, you're the son of great people, Rav. When you notice that every day, Rebbe stops for a minute and he puts his hand over his head, like he's tired. That's when he's saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That was his Kriyat Shema. By the way, based on that comes the minhag that we have to cover our eyes when we say Shema Yisrael. Because apparently Rebbe didn't want to be disturbed at that point, so he covered himself. So therefore, it became the minhag Yisrael to cover their eyes at that pasuk Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ask the Gemara, after Shir, which was already after Zman Kriyat Shema, did Rebbe go back to read the rest of Kriyat Shema or not? Choser v'gomra or eino choser v'gomra? Because it would anyway only be schar like Kriyas HaTorah. So is there an inyan that it should be bedavka Kriyat Shema? This is an important question. When we say you only have schar, eino, he was not mafsid. Okay, but I mean, is there an inyan bedavka to read it or not? So Bar Kapora says, no, he didn't. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe said, no, he did. So Bar Kapora said to Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, look, did you notice that every single day after your father would put his hands over his eyes for a minute, that somehow or other, the topic always turned to Yetzias Mitzrayim. For a minute. Now, how do you explain that? Okay, I'll tell you. Because since he knew he was never going to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, because he was not going to go over Kriyat Shema after the Shir, so apparently he felt that, okay, at least he'll be able to bring in Yetzias Mitzrayim as part of the Shir. But according to you, why did he have to do that? So I didn't know how the Rabbi Ashmaitz and Isbe Yetzias Mitzrayim, but according to you, you say anyway, he went back and read it. So what did he have to do that for? Loma Leila Dure answered Rabbi Shimon. What do you mean? He wanted to say Yetzias Mitzrayim at the time of Kriyat Shema. That's why. Doesn't mean he didn't go back and say it. Omer Rabbi Lavere Rishmul Bar Marta Mishmei Derav. If you said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then you got so tired, you just started mumbling. That's okay. Because the only part that you have to say with full consciousness and clarity is the first pasuk. Even if you're mumbling and you're half asleep with the rest of Kriyat Shema, you're yotze. And Reb Nachman told his Eved, look, Daro, baby, if you see me falling asleep in the middle of Kriyat Shema, do me a favor, slap me, okay? Make sure I say the first pasuk properly. So, Mepsuka Kama, Tsaran. But after that, let me mumble. Tve lotetzaran. Omar le Rav Yosef, le Rav Yosef, bereda rabba, how did your father used to be knowing in this to stay awake? Omar le, listen, b'psuka kamei avi kametzaran afshe, he really went crazy to stay up properly, to be completely aware and conscious for that first pasuk. Tve lo avi metzaran afshe, and he didn't care more than that. Omer Rav Yosef, Prakdan lo yikra Kriyat Shema. Remember, we had this back in Nida. Somebody, according to Rashi, Prakdan is somebody who's sleeping on his back. According to the Oroch, it's somebody who's sleeping on his stomach. So we go with both. The Shulchan Aruch brings both. If you're lying on your back, you should not be reading Kriyat Shema. What do you mean not be reading Kriyat Shema? But you can go to sleep on your back? I thought you're not allowed to go to sleep on your back because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used to curse people who sleep on their back because they could get an erection and be exposed and it's very low class, or because they keep their hands on their genitals. Answers the Gemara, Migna, in order to sleep on your back, all you need to do is bend over slightly to the side, and then you avoid those problems. So, Kimatsu Shaper Dummy, but to say Kriyat Shema, you're being Makabal Ol Malchus Shemayim, for God's sake, You're such a slob that to be Makabalo Malkah Shemayim, you talk to Melech Malkah, I'm looking. But I'm a little too tired to really get up, you know. So that's a chutzpah. So over there, even if you would bend over on your side, it would be aser. What do you mean? Rabbi Yochanan used to read Kriyat Shema like that. Rabbi Yochanan was enormously fat. And for Rabbi Yochanan to be able to do more than turn a little bit off of his side was almost impossible. What do you want out of him? So shiny Rabbi Yochanan, the Baal Basar.